Welcome to On the Mic with Mike.
We don't always have these conversations with our loved ones, but we need to.
The podcast that addresses controversial issues that affect us in the criminal justice system.
Do you understand what we had to get to carry a gun and defend ourselves?
And even cultural challenges we face every day.
People just love to make it about race. That's not the case.
What causes you to be in a relationship that may lead to a potential domestic issue down the line?
Resolve your unconscious bias and grow from an independent perspective based on facts and data.
Why not use statistics in your analysis?
And now your host.
Do I seem like I'm on something or am I just losing it?
Instructor Mike.
Okay, so we're hearing conversations about, you know, other content creators and lawyers in the self-defense community talk about the USCCA and, you know, what's wrong with the coverage and stuff like that. And this young lady right here, Kyra Giles, or I believe that's her name, Kyra Giles, right? And the USCCA dropped coverage of this particular person that she supposedly was entitled to. Let's talk about that. That's important, because what the heck? Oh, let's talk about it. Here we go, baby. And by the way, I would like to graciously remind you, I am not a lawyer. Not a lawyer, no. But I think there are some things that you do need to consider in this particular given situation. So Kyra Giles is a young lady who was covered by the United States Concealed Carry Association and their legal provider, the insurance provider, Delta Defense. And in a self-defense situation, or what was alleged to be a self-defense situation, the USCCA, after analysis, dropped coverage of this member after already paying out $50,000or more in fees to an attorney pre-trial. Case didn't even go to trial yet. And then after, you know, information, they just dropped coverage. And now you have people, attorneys, other attorneys who are making conversation against the USCCA, saying things, you know, I don't want to say against the USCCA. Let me frame my words correctly. They're not necessarily against or for the USCCA. They're just talking about the circumstance and what gives if you could be dropped by insurance. Well, I'd like for you to consider the following, right? You know, research. It is very important. See, people fear what they don't understand. They fear what they don't understand. And it doesn't take a lot to really analyze certain things. It doesn't take a lot to analyze certain things. So let's go on ahead and look at it. So this is the appellate case, okay, because she was subsequently, you know, charged with murder and she was found guilty. And so she filed an appeal. And now all you have to do is just go to, you got the website right here, just findlaw.com. You just got to look up the name Kyra Jean Giles Cootie. I'm saying the name right. If I'm not, indulge me. Indulge me in argument. Let's go on ahead and analyze certain things. Boom! Here we go. I'm getting my head up out the way so you can go on ahead and see the whole thing. Okay? We're going to go on ahead and go over this. Okay? So, State of Louisiana versus Kyra Jean Giles Cootie, 2023. The Court of Appeal of Louisiana, the Third Circuit, docket number 22-665, decided October 5th, 2023. Well, by God, that's this year. Okay. And here you have the court judges on the appeal court and the attorney, Jane Hogan, attorney at law. And this is for the defendant appellant, Kyra Jean Giles Cootie, right? Here we go. All this other information. Let's get to it. Defendant Kyra Jean Giles Cootie appeals her conviction for second-degree murder and obstruction of justice, violation of Louisiana Revised Statute 1430.1, a Louisiana revised statute 14.130.1, respectively, in her sentences of life at hard labor without the benefit of probation, parole, or suspension of sentence, and 30 years at hard labor, which were ordered to be served consecutively. For these reasons, we affirm the defendant's sentences and convictions. Now, some of you all are like, well, Mike, we already know this. We know this already. We saw one particular person's, the law of self-defense, attorney Andrew Branca. Great guy, by the way. And we saw attorneys on retainer. We saw that, Mike. And I'm upset. I'm a member. And how could you drop this person when they weren't given the benefit of an adequate defense? Well, let's continue to read. Please, just come on now. Just let's go. Because I know there are some things that you will listen to me about and some things you won't listen to me about. If you value what I say, you got to listen to this because we're talking about conflict avoidance. That's the name of the game. Conflict avoidance. Let's talk about it. Here we go. Facts and procedural posture. You know those facts, right? Because all appeals courts do is they analyze the record. They analyze the record, right? When your case goes on appeal, and attorney Andrew Branca said this, right? When you're found guilty, there's the presumption of guilt until there's a factual finding of innocence, in essence, in this case, which would cause it to be reversed, the conviction to be reversed and remanded to the lower courts for actions consistent with this decision. So let's go on ahead and talk about it. Here we go. Defendant Ann Thomas Cooty, this is her husband, was married in 2014. They had one child. Their marriage, however, would not be characterized as harmonious. All right. In 2018, the defendant Ann Thomas separated. The separation was not amicable, to say the least. And I want to zoom in just a little bit more. Okay, give me some latitude here. I want you to be able to see certain things. Okay, here we go. I want you to be able to see certain things, right? It was not amicable, to say the least. Oh, yeah, that's big. Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm managing my own show, so give me latitude. Thomas reported defendant to law enforcement authorities that the defendant slapped him during a custody exchange. Right? Thomas reported defendant to law enforcement authorities, her husband. Now, keep that in mind, because this is going to be critical during the incident in question stage, which spawned in her arrest or resulted in her arrest. The defendant complained to her friend, Jennifer Dennis, that Thomas slammed a car door on her leg during an exchange. So already we got a domestic dispute. In retaliation, defendant slapped Thomas. We appear to have some level of mutual combat. I don't know if I want to say mutual combat, but you get where I'm going here, right? At an August 2018 custody hearing, defendant indicated that Thomas had jumped her during an earlier incident. How many of you all have ever heard of a person, I don't want to gender this, right? But a person making allegations of abuse ex parte in domestic violence order of protection hearings? What does ex parte mean? Without the other party. How many of you all have heard of people making allegations of abuse without the other party there, omitting certain situations and facts, which would lead the judge to believe or come to a different conclusion? Let's not act like this does not happen. Mrs. Dennis, that's her friend, Jennifer right here. Mrs. Dennis related that in early 2018, the defendant told her she wanted to kill Thomas and ask if she could borrow a gun. Mrs. Dennis refused to loan the defendant one of her guns. Later, defendant sent Mrs. Dennis a picture of a black handgun she had purchased. Defendant also asked Ms. Dennis if she knew anything about self-defense insurance. In August 2018, the defendant sent a message indicating she had deleted all her social media accounts and that she might, quote, make the news. Okay. Now, I'm going to provide some information because I know that the lawyers watching this and other people will say, well, Mike, this is facts not entered into evidence at the time of the decision to decide whether or not to continuously support this member. Okay, you may have a point. Let's continue. Later the same month, the Ninth Judicial Circuit Court issued a mutual protective order that, amongst other things, prohibited them from possessing firearms pursuant to Title 18 United States Code Section 922 G8. Also in August, defendant began researching Louisiana self-defense law and concealed carry insurance over the internet. Something about that search history. Both on her computer and her mobile phone. And on August 27th, 2018, contrary to the court's protective order that she knew about on the record. Come on. Defendant purchased a Ruger LCP handgun chambered in .380 automatic Colt pistol from an Academy Sports and Outdoors location in Dallas, Texas. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Form 4473 obtained by Academy, which was required of all commercial firearms and transfers or purchases, indicates that the defendant was not subject to a criminal background check because she held a valid Texas concealed carry permit. Defendant also purchased concealed carry insurance from the United States Concealed Carry Association on the same day. During a custody hearing in August 2018, the defendant accused Thomas of bringing a gun to a custody exchange. Right? So here, the defendant, Miss Kayla Giles or Giles Cooty, I better be saying the names right, accused Thomas of being the Sultan of Satan, Lucifer Jr., accused him of bringing a gun to a custody exchange, right? During the defendant's trial, Jessica Giles Austin, the defendant's sister, confirmed this accusation that she accused this. In the meantime, Thomas filed a pleading seeking a new trial on the district court's custody order, along with a demand for reimbursement of money and an order for contempt. This pleading was served on the defendant September 7, 2018. So look at all these things that she knows to be the case. She knows there's a history of contention between her husband in this proceeding, divorce proceeding, separation proceeding, custody proceeding. She knows that he will hit her back. She knows that she hit him. She knows that she was served with these orders and his demand for a new trial on the custody, on the court's custody order and for an order of contempt. And this is on September 7th. She was served the day before on September 8th. This is the date of the incident. Defendant and Thomas met in a Walmart parking lot in Alexandria, Louisiana, to exchange physical custody of their child. If you can recall, let's test your knowledge. What happened just the month prior to the defendant accused Thomas of bringing a gun to a custody exchange? Let's go back. What did Thomas do? Thomas alerted law enforcement authorities that the defendant slapped him during a custody exchange. What does your wise and conflict-avoiding mindset tell you needs to happen on September 8th, 2018 at a Walmart parking lot in Alexandria, Louisiana to exchange physical custody of their child? Here we go. They should have called the police. They should have had the sheriff or the police in Alexandria, Louisiana, meet them at the Walmart parking lot in Louisiana to exchange custody. Or better yet, why do that? Because then you would end up having to wait, right? You should actually go to the police department and say, if you want to exchange your child, come meet me at the police department and alert the authorities of the contentious situation between you two. Mm-hmm. And then have deputies and officers on standby to secure a safe custodial exchange. But you didn't do that, did you? Because you got a gun. See, some of y'all love conflict. You love conflict. I got a gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish your mother try me this time. Right? We ain't gotta run no more. Louisiana is a stand your ground state. What did I say before if you follow me? I said just because it's a stand your ground state doesn't mean that you should not run. Running should always be an option. For what would you do if you had no gun to use? For what would you do if you had no gun to use? Now, let's take it away from firearms insurance. Let's go on ahead and put it to car insurance or any other kind of insurance, right? What do these insurance agencies do to members who are negligent in their actions, right? They drop coverage. They decide not to cover them in certain cases where it could be proven that you set upon actions to be negligent. And what do we say those who are the responsible members of these organizations? Well, good on you for dropping this person, because we don't want our monies covering ignorance like that. Ignorance like this. We don't want that covering you. Yes, we are in fear that the fact, oh my God, would my situation be the one that decides not to be covered? Yeah, that's always a possibility. Always a possibility. But if you are acting to take all costs to avoid the conflict, right? And then you have no other choice but to act, right? No other choice but to act. And that no other choice but to act could be the first thing that is right in front of you. That could be the first, I got no choice, I got to pop. It's, what did I tell you all before? There's a difference between intentional shootings and instinctional shootings. Instinctional shootings are the shootings where your body gets involved in it and makes you protect itself. It's instinctual. And then intentional, yeah, you meant to do it. It could be steps, malice aforethought, or just acting under the sudden and intense passion. That's why she was charged with second degree murder. She was charged with second degree murder and convicted of second degree murder because it was impulsive. It was the heat of passion. I'm surprised, arguably, that she wasn't even convicted of first-degree murder, because here you see that there were steps taken out. But okay, that would have been a stretch. That would have likely resulted in a not guilty verdict. So second-degree murder, I can see, is a reasonable conviction in this case, because here you see there was a mutual protective order. She could not possess a firearm, but in violation of Title 18 United States Code, Section 922 G8, she goes out and purchases a firearm anyway, when she's prohibited from possessing it. But I guess she didn't have to fill it out because she had a valid concealed carry permit. Maybe I'm misstating the facts. So let's go back and look at that again, because I don't want to misstate the facts. I want to go back and look at that appeal. See, it's important that in all that getting, you get an understanding. Right? Later that same month, the Ninth Judicial Court issued a mutual protective order that, among other things, prohibited them from possessing firearms pursuant to Title 18 United States Code, Section 922 G8. Also in August, the defendant began researching self-defense law and concealed carry insurance over the internet, both on computer and on her mobile phone. And on August 27, 2018, contrary to the protective's order, the defendant purchased a Ruger LCP handgun chambered in .380 automatic Colt pistol from this place in Dallas, Texas, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives Form 4473, obtained by Academy, which is required for all commercial firearms transfers or purchases, indicates that the defendant was not subject to a criminal background check because she held a valid Texas concealed carry permit. And so because she wasn't subject to that criminal background check, right, she was able to purchase a firearm. I would have liked to have seen whether or not there was an investigation covered that in taking the license to carry class in Texas, whether or not that was even discussed in class, that once you have your Texas license to carry permit, and as long as it's valid, you can fill out the form 4473, but you're not subject to a background check. And if in fact she attended that class, and if in fact she knew that information at the time, that would have made this section so rich. But those facts were not known to the officer at the time of the arrest, but they were known to the court. But you know who else they were known to? Kayla Giles Kuti. Hope I'm saying the name right. Give me some latitude. She knew those things. She knew she had a mutual protective order. She was in court. She knew that the judge admonished her against the prohibition for her carrying firearms. And yet and still, after that, she purchased a firearm. Her friend, Jennifer Dennis, right? She told her friend who testified in court or made a statement to law enforcement. In retaliation, defendant slapped Thomas. And in early 2018, Mrs. Dennis, her friend, related either through open testimony in open court or to law enforcement. It does not state who. The defendant told her she wanted to kill Thomas and ask if she could borrow a gun. And Ms. Dennis is like, what in the hell, tarnations? I'm not going to participate in your debauchery. I'm not going to help you kill that man. There are other ways to avoid the conflict, deal with this issue. But I'm not about to get involved in your debauchery, your tomfoolery, your shenanigans. Dennis refused to loan the defendant one of her guns. And later the defendant sent Mrs. Dennis a picture of a black handgun she purchased. The defendant also asked Ms. Dennis if she knew anything about self-defense insurance. At that point in time, Ms. Dennis want nothing to do with that, because it's not even stated on the record of appeal that she gave her a response. And it was obvious she didn't give her a response. Why? Because she began researching herself for Louisiana self-defense law and concealed carry insurance. Also in 2018, the defendant sent a message indicating that she had deleted all her social media accounts and that she might make the news. Tell me this ain't intent. Tell me this is not intent. Tell me this is not intent. Here we go. Let's read this. On September 8th, 2018, the defendant and Thomas met in a Walmart parking lot in Alexandria, Louisiana, to exchange physical custody of their child. Defendant's children from a previous relationship were going to accompany Thomas on this occasion, as they were going to the Charles Edmund Cheese Entertainment Center and Violence Prevention Coalition. I'm just playing. Chuck E. Cheese, to celebrate the child's birthday. And after the children were in his truck, Thomas approached the defendant's vehicle and opened her driver's side door. The defendant shot Thomas in the chest, killing him, while the defendant described Thomas jumping toward her car and jerking the door open. The defendant's daughter, A.S., stated that Thomas walked towards the car, which contradicted a recorded statement she had given police earlier. So your own daughter stated that's not what occurred. And you're lying, mommy. You're being mean to that man. Notice how my dialect changed. You're being mean to that man. You shot him. I saw it. I didn't see him being violent. I love my dad. You didn't do that. And you want the USCCA to cover this child of somebody. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. It's more facts and information in here. More facts and information in here, right? Here we go. Mrs. Austin testified that Thomas had been violent in the past and that the defendant was fearful in the weeks leading up to the shooting. She had, however, never witnessed these incidents, though the defendant told her about them. Miss Austin testified that Thomas had been violent in the past. If that's the case, why didn't you call law enforcement? If in fact that's the case, why didn't you call law enforcement? Because you didn't want to. Because you knew if they had conducted a thorough investigation, you knew that they would have uncovered that it was a situation where you had triggered him and gotten and hit him before and gotten a rile and a rise out of him, that you two were toxic together. And if you would talk to behavioral analysts and therapists and psychologists, they would do a thorough history of the both of you and determine if they are doing it from a non-biased perspective, from an objective perspective. You would know, and they would be able to say that you two were toxic for each other and you were mutually egging each other on. That's why a mutual protective order was entered, barring you from possessing firearms and ammunition and things of that nature. For comparison, it was noted that Thomas was 6'1", tall and weighed 218 pounds and had fought in about a half a dozen mixed martial arts matches. By contrast, the defendant was 5'2 and weighed 114 pounds. Men, please know that the things that you do to become a disciplined person, to become a defender, will be used against you in court. And this is why I am a strong advocate that the minute things get hostile, you gotta walk away, because the cards will be played against you. This would be an argument for this thing called disparity of force. Disparity of force. Disparity of force. And we're going to end this and then continue with my analysis. The matter proceeded to trial by jury, after which the defendant was found guilty of second-degree murder and obstruction of justice. For if, in fact, you are a true victim, why would you obstruct justice? What would be the reasons you would obstruct justice? And we know that she was sentenced to life imprisonment without the benefit of probation, parole, or suspension of sentence for second-degree murder, and 30 years at hard labor for obstruction of justice to be served consecutively. So we got to look at something else, too. We have to look at this analysis called the BPL analysis. What is the BPL analysis? That is an analysis about negligence. Negligence. And we're going to go on ahead and go to Wikipedia, because I want you to be able to see this and look at this stuff and do some research. That stuff is important. I want you to be able to do some research, right? And this is in tort law, right? Since we're talking about conflict avoidance, right? Conflict avoidance. Here we go. BPL analysis. BPL, okay? Let me just make sure you all are able to see this on screen. Hang tight, because you're going to learn something, right? Of course, I'll donate to Wikipedia. Now, some of you all will say, well, why would you use Wikipedia? Wikipedia is a reliable source if you know how to check the information that you were given. Sometimes we need quick information, right? But if you go down to the bottom, right, they'll give you a ton of references where you can go on ahead and cross-check if what was written here is true. Shouts out to Wikipedia. Okay, and this analysis of negligence in tort law, right? Because that's what USCCA is. It's an insurance company. It deals with administrative, it deals with criminal, it deals with civil, right? So let's look at conflict avoidance, because conflict avoidance is inherent in criminal law, civil law, administrative, avoiding the conflict, avoiding the problem. So what is the BPL analysis? Where B is the cost or the burden of taking precautions. How much burden would be on you for taking these precautions? where P is the probability of loss because you didn't do it, and L is the gravity. How great would the loss be if you don't do it? Okay? So what is the burden of not buying that Ruger LCP 380 and abiding by the conditions of staying away? And if you're going to exchange the child because of the alleged occurrences of abuse or the actual occurrences of abuse, what would be the burden of going to the police department and saying, I want to exchange my child here from now on, and can we do that here? Do you think the parish that you lived in would deny that? Do you think they would say, oh no, we can't have you doing that here. We don't want to be involved in any of that debauchery, tomfoolery, mess. We know you two. You guys are messy. You're messy. We don't want to deal with that. Charlene. It's not her name. I'm just saying. Right. Okay. So here we go. Well, what is the probability of loss that occurs from not involving the police? Well, sure. She lost her USCCA coverage. She lost her freedom. She lost her access to her children because she did not take these precautions, because she did not abide by the mutual protective order, because she told her friend, I want to kill him. Because she told her other friend, he's beating on me. And what did she do? She reported that she told me this, but she had not witnessed any of those things. See, some of you all who hear this information from other people, you could be being sent off. You could be a part of this master plan to shoot Thomas Kuti. Because I want my kids for me. They're not yours. And what is the gravity of that loss? And the product of P times L, which is the probability of loss, times the severity of that loss, or the gravity of that loss, must be greater in amount than B to create a duty of care for the defendant. So the probability of loss and the severity of loss is greater than the cost of not purchasing the firearm, greater than the cost of going to the police station and doing the custody exchange there. Did you have to do the custody exchange at the Walmart? What say you? No, you didn't have to. You did not have to. You chose to. Well, sure, he's not gonna hit me in a public area. Allegedly, he did it before. Let's go back to it. Bow. Here we go. Allegedly, he did it before. The separation was not amicable, to say the least. Thomas reported defendant to law enforcement authorities that defendant slapped him during a custody exchange. Well, Thomas at least did the right thing by going to law enforcement. You, on the other hand, did not. You did complain to your friend, Dennis. You know, the people who are your ride and dies, right? The ones who will likely believe you no matter what, because you all are friends. Oh my God, you're friends, right? You are friends. And she believed you that Thomas slammed a car door on her leg during exchange. So if in fact during an exchange that this had allegedly occurred and that you sought out to get a mutual protective order and you were told to stay away and not have guns, did you not have a duty as the person, as party to this, not to have that firearm? Did you not have a duty to report the information to law enforcement if, in fact, there was another civil action where the family court were telling you that you still got to exchange the child and to do it at a police station? Involve law enforcement. That would have been nice to know. I'm sure that if the judge knew this, they would have given you those admonishments, and they probably did, but you said screw that. You said screw that. And at an August 2018 custody hearing, the defendant indicated that Thomas had jumped her in an earlier incident. So you are alleging all these cases of abuse, yet you are not taking any precautions. And you related to your friend, Mrs. Dennis, Jennifer Dennis. The defendant told her she wanted to kill Thomas and ask if she could borrow a gun. And Miss Dennis said, oh, I'm not getting involved in that. I have to think about my husband, my children, my dog, Lucius. And I'm not getting involved in any of that debauchery. I will have no parts of that. Not to be outdone, she would. If you're not going to at least do that, can you tell me about some self-defense insurance? And I want to go on ahead and show you. I'm going to send you this picture of this black handgun I just got. You know what? Can you give me some self-defense insurance? You know anything about that? Look, you already told me you wanted to kill your husband, Thomas. I'm not going to be involved in that debauchery. But she didn't say anything. She probably just went ghost. I ain't got time for that. Husband probably was like, baby, stay away from that. You don't want to be involved in that. We have our own things we have to deal with. Let's give her to God. Give her to God, because you know what happens, baby? We tried. And the defendant sent a message indicating she had deleted her social media accounts and that she might make the news. Later that same month, right, she got a mutual protective order. Don't possess a gun. Not to be outdone, she goes and possesses one anyway. Shouts out to the United States Concealed Carry Association for not wasting members' money on this person. She is not worthy. I don't care what anyone says. Her, right here, she's not worthy of using members' money. See, people don't understand that insurance companies, do you think the insurance company just has the money? Where do they get the money from? The fines and fees and the fees that you all pay as members. Thank you for not wasting members' money on this case. Because baby, she got a gun. She's not going to run. I wish your mother try it this time. See, some of y'all love conflict. So let's go to the second case, right? The second case of Allen. Right? Let's go to the second case of Allen. I wanted to look at this. I had to look at this case because this is another case where USCCA declined coverage, right? USCCA declined coverage. Now, I wanted to find the video and I'm going to show the video here. Okay? It's not going to show the actual shooting, right? You have a YouTube prankster who walked towards Allen in a Virginia mall. And in walking towards Allen in a Virginia mall, let's see what happens. See, conflict avoidance. This is important. Conflict avoidance. Let's get to it. Let's talk about it. Here we go. It's not going to have any sound because this is just a news reporter talking. Here we go. YouTube person approaches. Now, all my self-defense people, would you suggest that him back himself into a corner right here? Now, granted, let me pull back a little bit. Bam, right there. Let's get to it. It's the video. Here we go. Bam, approached. Two people. Clearly, you see nothing in their hands. They got a phone right there, and there's somebody right there videoing. So it's three people. Let's go. Back. Here we go. The body cannot go where the brain has not been. The body cannot go where the brain has not been. In the USCCA presentation, when the representative came to your particular class or wherever they met you at, did they tell you to log into the Protector Academy and watch those videos? Mm-hmm. As an educator, see, I'm more than just a firearms instructor. I'm also an educator. I teach parenting. I teach anger management. My majors in undergrad were psychology, philosophy, and criminal justice. Psychology, philosophy, and criminal justice. Master's degree, criminal justice, former cop, former military. Here we go. Force science analyst. I am a certified force science analyst, certified by the Force Science Institute. Look it up. So I'm learned, whatever, right? So here we go. The body cannot go where the brain has not been. And that's why USCCA tells you all the time to log into the Protector Academy. But you would have to actually value education to actually do it. Rarely do you have, and correct me if I'm wrong, insurance companies that give you the education to enter into your brain and advocate for training over and over and over and over and over and over again, so that when you are in high, tense, and stressful situations, that the body will be able to perform what it needs to do, including conflict avoidance under the influence of stress to the level of automaticity, because you're not gonna have the time to think in that situation. You're not gonna have the time to think in that situation. You're not gonna have the time to think in that situation. You're not gonna have the time. And so the USCCA, Delta Defense, they put out a lot of videos. They sponsor, or at least they have a lot of people like or better than me who come here and tell you and teach you through YouTube and other forms of media, print, video, podcast, even CCW Safe, to avoid the conflict. So let's take it away from self-defense. We're going to continue this video, right? What do we say? Let's get back to the BPL analysis, right? Let's get back to that. Bam. Let's get back to this, right? Because we're going to take it away from self-defense, and we're going to look at what is the burden, right, of taking precautions versus the probability of getting in that accident and the severity of what happens when you get into that accident. So you're driving a motor vehicle. And you see a sign that says, wet pavement ahead. And then when you see that sign, wet pavement ahead, you decide to say, no, this is going to be good. We're going to go on ahead and have fun, because I want to hydroplane and autos drift or whatever it's called. But your tires are damn near bald. And on the road you're on now, previous, it's been dry. Wet pavement ahead. Well, it's not raining. Why? What? I don't see no rain. What are they talking about, wet pavement ahead? Could this be a construction sign that they just left out? Oh, screw it. Wet pavement ahead could have been because maybe there's a gas spill, liquid, gasoline. Maybe there's some kind of substance that's wet, but you say, screw it. And you go on ahead and drive real fast. You increase that speed, right? And then you sit here and you hydroplane and you spin out of control and you bow. You crash into an object on the E-way. Hurt yourself badly and bang up your car. Did you have a burden to slow down and pay attention to that sign? Did you have a burden on yourself to slow down and take it easy? Did you have a burden to make sure that you perform the operator level maintenance, if you will, or at least you should have known to look at your tires to make sure they have the proper tread? And if they were low, you should have taken your car, or you could have taken your car to a tire replacement place. Hell, you can go to a used tire replacement place and get tires for way less than what you would pay to get some brand new ones that still got some usable tread. But did you do that? No. You decided with your bald tires to go on ahead and just do this because it would be fun. Do you think the insurance company should pay out? Do you think the insurance company would say, well, the probability of loss was real, real great. Real great. The gravity of loss. Oh my God, you not only wrecked the car, but you damn near wrecked yourself, and be lucky you're not dead or didn't hurt anybody else. Should the insurance company still pay out? Is that not reckless behavior? So let's get back to this situation, right? In getting back to this situation, here we go. Let's go on ahead and play the rest of the video, because what could this man have done at this time? And don't you give me that argument. Well, he didn't have to. He could have stood his ground. He could have stood his ground. Let me look this up. I did not. Here we go now. Let's go. Here we go. According to Guilfords.org, though Virginia does not have a stand your ground statute, the state courts have held that there is no duty to retreat before using force in public. But just because there's no duty to retreat doesn't mean there isn't a duty to take precautions. You see how you could get conflicting duties? You can get conflicting duties. Sometimes people don't understand that civil law and criminal law can be transmuted and commingled. One can depend on the other, and the other can depend on the one. What do I know? Let's continue. I'm surprised these attorneys did not break it down this further. Because it's easy to say, well, USCCA can drop you. But how easy is it for you to go look up the appeal and see the procedural history of the case? And I'm not even a lawyer and I'm doing this. Come on. Here we go. He approaches him. He approaches him. Now, I want you to think about this. What would you do if you had no gun to use? What would you do if you had no gun to use? If you had no gun to use, what would you do? What would you do? But I got a gun, I don't have to run. I wish a mug try me this time. Here we go. Swat that phone. Pulled out that gun. Look at all that space. Look at all that space. Look at all that space. Is he coming in his face with a phone? Yes. He could have been saying some bad words. I don't see no words saying I'm gonna delete you or harm you. But I got a gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish a mug try me this time. Allen's got a gun, he don't have to run. I wish a mug try me this time. Some of y'all can't wait to use it. You can't wait to, got me one. Yeah, I stood my ground. But what is the probability of you losing everything and the gravity of that loss? And is that lesser or greater than the burden of taking precautions to avoid stuff like this? The USCCA tells you to watch the Protector Academy. They partner with people like or better than me. They partner with other attorneys who tell you, look, avoid it. You don't. People say all the time, I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. Do you think Alan is saying that? I'm trying to point the right direction. Do you think he's saying that? Do you think he's saying that now? Do you think he's saying I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6? Do you think she's saying this now? If she had to do things differently, what would she have done differently? I got a gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish Thomas would try me this time. Do you think she would have told Jennifer, her friend, I want to delete Thomas because I got a gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish Mug try me this time. Everybody wants somebody. I wish a motherfucker would try me until you are tried. Because I got a gun, I'm not going to run. I wish a mug try me this time. Don't y'all make this a song. Don't y'all make this a song. What would you do if you had no firearm to you? Would you stick out that chest if you were not wearing that vest? You want to talk about USCCA dropping coverage? But you don't want to talk about all the things that she could have done to avoid the conflict. I'm surprised that attorneys on record. I'm surprised that Andrew Branca, both criminal defense attorneys, who are not advocating that you do all that you can to avoid this conflict. I'm looking at this given situation right here. I'm gonna rewind it back as a forensic science analyst. Did you have to? And this is not like the police where they gotta get in certain situations. They have a duty to intervene, acting under the color of law. They have a duty to intervene. Do you have to? Those of you all who you follow me and you have taken my class, that's the reason. That's the reason that I do in my training, have to shoot versus want to shoot. Did you have to shoot this person or did you want to? Want to could have some components I have. Yeah, I could, but I probably got other options. I could shoot, but I'm probably going to lose a lot if I do. YouTube Prankster comes up, right? Do you have to engage in conversation with these people? Well, come on, Mike. People are conversational folks. Boy, please. You don't have to. After finding out a few things, let's continue. Could you walk away? Let's go. Could he have, in fact, walked away? In fact, he's not even being backed into a corner. He's backed into all this open real estate. What's wrong? What's wrong with running? What's wrong with running? Because I got a gun, I don't have to run. I wish these two would try me this time. Swats the phone. Now you see him walking away. You see him walking away. His freedom is not restricted. His freedom was not restricted. And if you took the U.S. Concealed Carry Association's Concealed Carry course, or self-defense, personal defense in the home courses. I'm not getting the title right. But in the course, don't they tell you that escape is not an option? Here we go. Escape is not an option. If, in fact, it could be proven that Allen took a concealed carry course through the United States Concealed Carry Association, because what do instructors do? They send the list, the roster, to the USCCA, because you have to. And his name was probably on there. And what do they say in the course? That escape has to be an option. If escape is not an option, then okay, stuff happens, weapons free. Was he escaping? Was he escaping? Baby got a gun, I don't have to run as much, try me this time. Baby, I got a gun, I'm not gonna run as much, try me this time. Here he is escaping. Well, the man is still approaching him. He wasn't approaching him fast. You got all this real estate. You could have ran. You could have ran. Tell me the man had an injury. Tell me his legs didn't work. Here he is walking out of court. Here he is walking out of court. His legs are working. His legs are working. This is the man right here. His legs are working. He doesn't appear to have a limp. His legs are working here. Baby got her gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish him would try me this time. And neither of these two, let's look at their facial actions, their body language, right? He swats the phone. They appear to be just an annoyance. Annoying. under the categorical imperative, Immanuel Kant, act in a manner that would be willed as universal law. Would we will it to be universal law that you shoot annoying people, though you may want to? Is that a legal thing that we should allow to happen in a functioning society? Annoying, yes. But when you have no other tools that you could use, you'll use stand your ground as your badge of honor. You'll use that gun as a badge of honor when if you had no gun to use, you would have ran. But baby got a gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish you would try me this time. All that space. Shouts out to the USCCA for dropping this one too. And anybody else who doesn't take actions to avoid conflict, I hope the USCCA drop you too. See, some of you all are so doggone arrogant, you can't wait to use your gun. And that's what those people who are against guns argue all the time. If the USCCA did not drop these two, I submit to you in closing that the USCCA would have been complicit in the arguments that are had by anti-gunners. See, here you have two clear-cut cases where conflict could have been avoided. And the USCCA backs these members, contrary to the information they teach in class to avoid the conflict. Is that healthy for the Second Amendment community? Is that healthy? I submit to you, it is not. And if you are a firearm owner and you are a person who avoids conflict at all cost, you will not get on the USCCA for dropping these two. And if you notice, Attorneys on Record and Andrew Branca, these are the main two cases they keep using. Baby got a gun, I'm not gonna run. I wish a mug try me this time. Show me some other cases, because these two can't be it. These two can't be the case that I use not to have them. As a conflict avoider, as a former cop, as a veteran of the United States Army, as a person who teaches conflict avoidance, who's not just a firearms instructor, who's a force science analyst, who's an anger management specialist, who's a parenting coach, who understands the psychology of behavior and what motivates people to do certain things. Some of you own guns because you got self-esteem issues and insecurities you need to fix in trauma and not on the range. But you won't take a course because you like being angry and you wish a mother would until mother could do. And you want the USCCA to then back you. No. No. Because baby got a gun, I'm not going to run. I wish him would try me this time. You want to be able to carry your firearm and act while under the influence of alcohol. You want to be able to carry in areas where you know conflict is going to be. You want to be able to carry that firearm and walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil until evil come, and then you want the USCCA to back you because of your reckless choices, your uneducated choices. Good job, USCCA. You're born to protect, for sure. For sure. Because you don't just provide the insurance. You provide videos that people don't always watch. You back certain positions of content creators and other instructors and influencers who teach you to avoid getting into situations that would cause the organization to lose money, frankly. In these days, we don't want to have to spend money in getting you into certain situations where we got it. That's not the goal, is to wasted. The goal is to keep it. But when you got people who are not hearing you and taking to heart about avoiding conflict, and then you got people with agendas who want to attack you, I hope you survive this. Because I'm not backing Kyla. Mm-mm. Not somebody who's playing victim. No, pimp. And this guy, I don't know if he was playing victim. He still could have walked away. All right, this is Instructor Mike. You've been trained. Ooh, that was long, but I love it because we had to dissect it. And I hope you found it valuable. What are your comments? Sound off in the comments. What do you think? This is also going to be on my podcast. It's got to be on my podcast, On the Mic with Mike. You got to listen to this. All right, we out.